Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, there is a specific feeling that every developer knows. It's that exact moment right after you finish a hard sprint, the code is finally clean, the features are working perfectly on localhost, and you feel absolutely invincible.
To ship it high.
Exactly. You want the world to see it. And you want the process to be as easy as clicking a single button.
The deploy anywhere dream. We all chase it.
We do. But then there's that other feeling. It usually hits around the 30th of the month.
Right.
You open your email, you see an invoice from your cloud provider, and your heart just drops into your stomach because you forgot about image optimization costs, or you hit a bandwidth limit you didn't even know existed.
That is the classic developer dilemma. It's the eternal struggle between the joy of zero config deployment, where everything just works like magic, and the sheer terror of the unpredictable bill.
Right.
And honestly, looking at the landscape today, Tuesday, January 27, 2026, that struggle hasn't gone away. It's just gotten more complicated.
And that is our mission for this deep dive. We are looking at a stack of sources that paint a picture of a three-way standoff for the soul of Next.js deployment. We aren't just looking at one option. We are decoding the modern Next.js deployment guide to help you figure out where your code should actually live.
It's a fascinating time for this conversation because the landscape has shifted so much in just the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't just talking about hosting files anymore. We are talking about architectural philosophy.
How so?
The decisions you make now determine not just your bill, but how your app actually functions.
So let's introduce the contenders before we get into the weeds. In one corner, we have the heavyweight champion, the luxury option, Vercel. In the second corner, the veteran who has been hitting the gym and is trying to make a massive comeback, Netlify. And in the third corner, the absolute wild card that has completely changed the math for everyone, self-hosting.
And that third option, self-hosting, is really the disruptor here. If we were having this conversation in 2023 or 2024, self-hosting Next.js was seen as, well, a bit masochistic.
A huge pain.
A huge pain, yeah. But tools like Coolify have changed the game entirely.
I love saving money. You know that. If I can get the same result for the price of a sandwich, I'm listening. But I also know you're going to tell me there's no such thing as a free lunch.
There isn't. There is always a trade-off. Usually it's between performance and control or convenience and cost. We need to unpack those trade-offs so you can decide which bill you'd rather pay. The one in dollars or the one in time.
Okay, let's start at the top. The gold standard, Vercel. They built Next.js, so it makes sense they'd be the best place to host it. The sources call them the Apple of deployment. Why do they hold the crown for developer experience?
It really comes down to that day zero support. Because the Vercel team is the Next.js team, whenever they drop a new version, like when we saw Next.js 15 and 16 come out, the features work instantly on the platform.
Can you give me a concrete example of that? What breaks elsewhere that works there?
Okay, think about partial pre-rendering, or PPR. This is a huge shift where you render the static shell of your website immediately and then stream in the dynamic parts.
Like the user's shopping cart or something.
Exactly, like a shopping cart or profile in the same request. Getting that to work on a standard server requires some, you know, serious configuration of the runtime. On Vercel, it just works.
No config.
You don't configure anything. You push code, and the platform knows how to split the static and dynamic streams.
That's that magic we talk about. One of the things that always trips people up is caching. You update a page, but the user still sees the old version.
Right.
The sources mentioned Vercel handles this better than anyone.
This is about ISR, or incremental static regeneration. It allows you to update static pages after you've built your site. On a traditional setup, if you want to change a typo on the homepage, you usually have to
rebuild the whole thing, right?
Precisely. You have to rebuild the entire application.
Which can take 10, 15 minutes for a big site.
Yeah. With ISR on Vercel, the platform regenerates just that one page in the background while serving the old one, then swaps it out seamlessly. It handles the global caches automatically. If you've ever had to manually purge a CDN because your content wasn't updating, you know what a nightmare that is.
Oh, I do?
On Vercel, it's automated. But the real Apple-like magic is in the image component.
Oh, I've seen this. You drop in a massive 5 megabyte image, and Vercel automatically serves it as a WebP or AVIF, perfectly resized for the user's phone or laptop.
It's a huge performance win.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't writing scripts to resize images in Photoshop or setting up an image processing server. It optimizes on the fly at the edge. And then there's the deployment speed itself.
Right.
You connect your GitHub, click once, and you're live. But the feature that I think really revolutionized how teams work is preview mode.
I use this all the time. You open a pull request and Vercel gives you a live link to that specific version of the site so you can show your manager or your client exactly what the changes look like before you merge.
It's a game changer for collaboration.
It is.
It removes the "it works on my machine" problem entirely because you're showing them a live URL. It creates a staging environment for every single commit.
So it's fast, it's easy, and it's magical. Why would anyone go anywhere else? Here comes the catch, right?
Comes the catch. And it's a big one. It's the pain of scaling. Vercel is fantastic to start with, but bandwidth and image optimization costs are the primary drivers of those bill shock stories you see on Twitter.
How high are we talking? Is it just a few extra dollars?
It can be exponential.
Okay.
The sources emphasize that Vercel charges a premium for bandwidth that is significantly higher than raw AWS costs and definitely higher than a VPS.
Okay.
So if your site is image heavy, or more importantly, if you get a sudden spike in high traffic, maybe you go viral on Hacker News, the end of month bill can be a nasty shock.
It's the luxury tax. You are paying for that zero configuration convenience.
You are. So if you're a small blog, it's fine. But if you're building the next Instagram, you might wake up bankrupt. Or at least you'll be scrambling to move off the platform very quickly to stop the bleeding.
Okay, so that leaves the door open for the competition. Let's talk about Netlify. A few years ago, I remember people saying Netlify was great for static sites, pure HTML and CSS, but struggled with the dynamic stuff Next.js was doing.
That's a fair assessment of the past. There were issues with slow server-side rendering, or SSR, and some features just breaking because Netlify was trying to reverse engineer how Vercel was running Next.js.
Right.
But according to our research, 2026 has been a redemption arc for Netlify. They've pivoted.
And the secret weapon is something called OpenNext.
Correct. And this is important to understand technically. OpenNext isn't just a patch. It's an open source adapter. Think of it as a universal translator.
Okay.
It takes your Next.js code, which is designed for Vercel's infrastructure, and translates it so it can run efficiently on any Lambda or Edge infrastructure.
So it creates a standard.
Exactly. Ah. It means Netlify isn't playing catch-up anymore. They're using a standard, community-driven adapter to deploy the framework. This solved a lot of the compatibility issues.
So they fixed the breaking features. What about the caching? You mentioned Vercel's ISR is magical. Can Netlify match that?
They did a lot of work here. They rewrote their caching architecture to be compatible with Next.js cache tags. That's huge for fine-grained control. It means you can invalidate specific data fetches rather than dumping the whole cache.
And pricing.
Generally speaking, they are more generous with the wallet.
Better pricing.
Yes. For bandwidth and build minutes on the starter plans, Netlify often gives you more breathing room than Vercel. Plus, they have this massive ecosystem of plugins for SEO and security that are really easy to drop in. It feels a bit more plug and play for the non-Next.js parts of your stack.
This sounds like a solid middle ground. But if they fix the tech and the price is better, I mean, why isn't everyone switching?
There is still one technical weakness, and for some developers, it's kind of a deal breaker.
Okay.
The cold start.
The time it takes for the server to wake up.
Right. Both Vercel and Netlify rely on serverless functions. When a user requests a page and hasn't been accessed in a while, that function has to spin up or boot. Vercel has optimized this incredibly well. Their edge network is just hyper-tuned for it.
Got it.
On Netlify, despite the improvements, that wake-up time is still slightly longer.
Does it really matter, though? Are we talking seconds?
We are talking milliseconds, but enough to notice.
Yeah.
If you need your time to first byte, the moment the browser starts receiving data to be under 50 milliseconds consistently, Vercel is still the safer bet.
Right.
If your e-commerce conversion rate depends on instant loading, that lag on Netlify might cost you sales.
Okay, so Vercel is the speedy luxury car. Netlify is the reliable sedan that's gotten a major engine upgrade. But now, let's talk about the option that feels like building your own car in the garage. Self-hosting.
Or, more accurately, 3D printing a Ferrari in your garage.
I love that. The sources call this the revolution. Before 2025, self-hosting was a nightmare, right? I'm talking about configuring Nginx, managing SSL certificates, dealing with PM2. It was a full-time job.
It was. You had to be a Linux system administrator just to host a website. You had to worry about firewalls, security patches, SSH keys.
Yeah.
It was high friction. But the paradigm shift here is a tool called Coolify.
Coolify, great name. What does it actually do?
Think of Coolify as an open source alternative to Vercel or Heroku. It gives you that nice, clean user interface where you can connect your GitHub and click deploy.
But
This is the key. It doesn't run on their computers. It runs on your server.
So I buy a slice of a server, a VPS, from someone like Hetzner or DigitalOcean, and I put Coolify on it.
Exactly. You get the UI of a platform as a service, but the infrastructure of a bare metal server.
Yeah.
It acts as a wrapper around Docker.
Let's talk about the pricing war here, because the numbers in the source material, they actually made my jaw drop. They break down a comparison for a startup with 3 developers and 500 gigabytes of monthly traffic.
This is where the math gets shocking. Let's look at Vercel Pro. You're paying for seats, $20 per person, plus bandwidth limits.
Yeah.
So for 3 devs, you're starting at around $60 a month minimum.
Right.
And if you cross that bandwidth threshold, the overage fees kick in.
Okay. $60. Not terrible for a business, but it adds up.
Netlify Pro is similar, around $57 a month. Now look at self-hosting on a Hetzner VPS.
I'm ready.
You pay $0 for seats. You can have 100 developers. It doesn't matter because you aren't paying a SaaS subscription. And the infrastructure cost for a server that can handle that traffic, about $7 a month.
$7.
$7. And here's the kicker. Vercel gives you 1 terabyte of bandwidth on the Pro plan. That $7 server from Hetzner, it often comes with 20 terabytes of bandwidth.
That is absurd. You get 20 times the bandwidth for basically 10% of the cost.
It's the difference between renting a hotel room and renting an apartment.
Right.
In the hotel Vercel, you pay for every mini bar item, every extra guest, every service.
Yeah.
In the apartment, the VPS, you just pay rent, and you can fill the fridge with whatever you want.
And technically, are there perks to owning the apartment? I mean, besides the money. Because usually, cheap implies worse performance.
Not in this case.
Yeah.
In fact, for certain architectures, it's faster. The first perk is the zero latency database.
What does that mean in practice?
Usually your app is in one place, like Vercel's cloud in Washington, D.C., and your database is somewhere else, like a managed database in AWS. Every time your app needs data, it has to send a request over the open internet.
Right. Latency.
Exactly. Latency. When you self-host with Coolify and Docker, you can put the database, say, a Postgres container and the Next.js app on the same server. They talk to each other over the internal Docker network. It's effectively instant.
So complex queries that fetch a lot of data load much faster.
Much faster. Yeah. And secondly, no timeouts.
Oh, I've hit this wall. Vercel serverless functions timeout after, what, 10 or 60 seconds?
On the Pro plan, the default is often 15 seconds, maybe up to 60 if you configure it. If you have a long task, like generating a PDF report, processing a large video upload, or syncing with a slow third-party API, Vercel will just kill the process. It says time's up and throws an error.
That is incredibly frustrating.
On your own server, your script can run for an hour. It doesn't care.
Huh.
You have absolute power over the runtime environment.
And what about that cold start issue we talked about with Netlify? Does self-hosting suffer from that?
No. And this is a crucial nuance. When you self-host, you aren't usually running serverless functions that go to sleep to save money. You are running a long-running Node.js server.
So it's always on.
It is always on. It is always listening.
So the first user gets the page just as fast as the 1,000th user.
Exactly. Zero cold starts with a dedicated lane on the highway just for you.
Okay, stop. This sounds too good to be true. It's cheaper, it's faster, it has no limits, and I can run long tasks. Why isn't everyone doing this? What is the catch?
The catch is that you are now the IT department.
Right.
The cost isn't financial. The cost is, well, it's your time and your stress. If the server goes down at 2 a.m., Vercel isn't going to fix it. You have to fix it.
I see.
If the disk fills up with logs and crashes the database, you have to SSH in and clean it up.
So I need to know Linux.
You need some Linux and Docker knowledge, yes.
Sure.
Coolify makes the UI easy. It handles the happy path beautifully. But when things break, and they will break, you need to know what's happening under the hood.
And you lose something else too, right?
You do. You lose the global edge network.
Meaning?
Vercel replicates your site all over the world. A user in Tokyo hits a Tokyo server. A user in London hits a London server. If you buy one VPS in Germany, your user in New York have to wait for the signal to travel to Germany and back.
Can't you fix that?
You can use Cloudflare as a CDN in front of your server. But again, that's more configuration. That's another moving part you have to manage.
It seems like it always comes back to peace of mind versus control.
That's the fundamental trade-off.
There's another trap mentioned in the sources that I want to unpack, the vendor lock-in. This sounded a bit ominous. The outline refers to it as Inspector Gemini's warning.
It is ominous, and it's something every startup founder needs to hear. Platforms like Vercel offer these amazing add-ons. Vercel KV for data, Vercel Blob for file storage, Vercel Postgres.
They're super easy to use. I've used them. Xeric config, you just import the SDK and you have a database.
They are designed to be easy.
Yeah.
That's the trap. The moment you use them, you are coupling your code to Vercel's proprietary SDKs. You aren't just using standard Postgres, you're using Vercel's wrapper around it.
Meaning if I want to move to that $7 Hetzner server later.
You can't, not without rewriting your code. You have to rip out all those SDKs, replace them with standard drivers, migrate your data out of their ecosystem. It's a massive headache.
You're trapped.
You are effectively trapped by convenience.
That is such a classic business move. So what's the advice? How do we stay safe?
The expert advice is to build portable front ends. Use independent services. Use Supabase for your database. It's just standard Postgres. Use AWS S3 or Cloudflare R2 for your files.
So keep the brain of the app independent from the body that hosts it.
Exactly. That way you can switch from Vercel to Netlify to a VPS whenever you want, just by changing environment variables. Don't let the hosting provider own your data architecture.
If you keep the infrastructure decoupled, you hold the power.
You got it.
That is really smart. Okay, we've covered a lot. The luxury of Vercel, the comeback of Netlify, and the raw power of self-hosting. Let's try to boil this down into a decision matrix for our listener, because they have to deploy something tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Scenario one. I'm a founder with a lot of funding. I need to move fast. My team is small, and I don't have a DevOps guy.
Choose Vercel. Money is not your constraint. Time is. You need the convenience, you need the day zero support for new Next.js features, and you need that preview mode for your team. Pay the premium, get the speed, you are buying time.
Okay. Scenario two. I'm already using Netlify for other projects. I'm on a budget, but I don't want to manage a server myself.
Choose Netlify. The OpenNext updates have made it a solid contender again. You'll get better build minutes on the free tier compared to Vercel, and the plugin ecosystem is great. You just have to accept slightly slower cold starts. It's a very safe, middle-of-the-road choice.
Got it. And scenario three, I'm bootstrapping. Every dollar counts. I expect heavy traffic, or maybe I have some long-running processes that Vercel would kill, and I'm not afraid of a command line.
Choose self-host with Coolify. Get that $7 VPS. You will save thousands of dollars a year. You'll have 100% control over your data, and you'll never hit a timeout. But be prepared to learn a little Docker. It's the high leverage choice for the technical founder.
The source material actually shares a personal rule of thumb from one of the developers, Majid, which I found really practical.
Yes, Majid's strategy. It's very pragmatic. If it's a client project and they are paying the bill, use Vercel.
Of course.
Zero maintenance headaches for you. If the client wants the Apple experience, let them pay for it. But for personal projects, internal tools, or your own startup where you pay the bill, self-host on Hetzner.
Why pay $60 a month when you can pay $7?
Exactly. It makes total sense. Optimize for your own sanity when the client pays. Optimize for your wallet when you pay.
That's the golden rule of freelancing.
It is.
So what does this all mean? It seems like there is no best option, just the right tool for the job.
That's the takeaway. We are past the point of saying Vercel is the only way or self-hosting is dead. It's actually more nuanced than ever. You have to look at your budget, your team skills, and your risk tolerance.
And honestly, it's exciting that we even have these choices. The fact that a single developer in 2026 can spin up a global infrastructure for the price of a fancy coffee is kind of a miracle.
It is. But I want to leave the listener with one final thought to chew on.
Yeah.
We talked about the money. We talked about saving that $53 a month.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Ask yourself, is saving $53 a month worth the potential stress of your server going down at 2 a.m. on a Saturday?
Ooh.
Or is the peace of mind tax that Vercel charges actually the smartest money a startup can spend? Sometimes, sleeping well is the best return on investment.
That is the real question. I'd love to hear what you think. Are you team zero config or team control freak? Let us know. Thanks for diving in with us today.
Until next time. Keep your cold starts warm and your bills low.
See you in the next deep dive.